It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The annual Global Climate Talks are underway in United Arab Emirates. We hear from a delegation from Wisconsin presenting at the conference known as COP28. And you can join in with your questions and comments about climate change, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nova Tebbi is a doctoral student in UW-Madison's Environment and Resources Program, studying how to make climate policies healthier and more equitable. Nova, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and Dr. Jonathan Patz is here as well, professor in the Nelson Institute and Department of Population Health Sciences. For 15 years, Patz served as lead author for the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Dr. Patz, welcome back.
Kate, it's a pleasure to be with you again. Thank you.
So scientists have announced 2023 will be the hottest year in recorded history. You've been involved with the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for years. Does this conference in Dubai feel more urgent than past conferences?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've seen records breaking all over the world regarding heat waves. We've experienced the wildfires. And for the first time ever, the Earth's temperature rose above 2 degrees centigrade average last week. So things are becoming quite concerning. And there's a lot on the line in this conference of the parties this year to turn things around and to reduce our emissions from burning fossil fuels.
Nova, why should Wisconsin residents pay attention to these climate conferences when they're happening a world away from us?
Well, you know, the conferences may be happening a world away, but the effects of climate change can be felt every day in normal life. Mm. Wisconsin, you know, with the wildfires and the smoke in the U.S., lots of flooding that's happened. Those are all extreme weather events that come from climate change. And fossil fuel combustion, like coal and natural gas and oil, creates air pollution. And we've saw a lot of air pollution issues in the U.S. as well. So even though these conferences are happening a world away, we can definitely feel the effects of climate change. And so what happens at the conferences in terms of climate action can benefit Wisconsin, can benefit the U.S. and everybody living in the world.
Dr. Patz, there's something that happens at these conferences called global stocktake. Can you explain what that is and then how it will unfold at the climate talks?
Kate, I would love to do that, except that Nova led our submission to the global stocktake. So I'm going to pass that in just a second, because it's really it's the first time ever that the Conference of the Parties has asked for us to take stock in the progress we've made since the major 2015 Paris Agreement. What I will say, and I hope Nova will chime in on the global stocktake, is that in its 28 years of COP meetings, this is the very first time ever that there's been a full day dedicated to human health. So that's something that is major. And of course, that's the area that we come in looking at health and climate change. But I'll pass the global stocktake question over to Nova.
Yes, take it away, Nova.
Sure. Yeah. So the global stocktake, for people who don't know, is essentially what I would call the report card of the Paris Agreement. We're trying to see how well that agreement has held up. And are we on track to reach the goal to limit warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius, if not 1.5? And so at COP28, the goal is to have somewhat of a text come out showing what progress has been made since Paris, where there are still gaps in action, and some guidance and way forward as we head to 2030, 2035, et cetera. And so this text and what is in it hopefully will tell us where parties stand in the fight for climate action. But we'll just have to wait to see till the end of COP28 what will happen.
Are there tensions around these types of reporting and report cards as countries view what has happened since Paris?
Yeah, I would say there are a couple contentious issues, particularly in the global stocktake. One of those is talking about what progress has been made.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want to acknowledge and have a positive, language on what has been done. But there's a lot of debate on what the guidance and way forward should be. Should it be prescriptive policy? Should we tell countries, what emission targets to aim for? Or should they be more nationally determined based on their context in, developing their economy, et cetera? So there's a lot of different issues and disagreement.
And explain what you submitted as part of the global stocktake.
Sure. So what was great about the global stocktake is it not only took statements from countries and parties, but it also opened it up to civil society. And that is where we submitted. And in our submission, we really outline the progress that's been made in terms of climate action that's benefiting health and equity. So what we would call health co-benefits. So for example, if we phase out fossil fuels, we can improve air pollution. And so the co-benefit there being we can improve the environment and we can also improve our health. So our submission outlined some of the great progress that has been made globally on these types of policies.
Dr. Patz, go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, if I can just add, regarding the air pollution issue, when you burn fossil fuels, not only does it emit greenhouse gases that are heating the planet, but you're emitting, you're polluting the air, and that's hazardous. A breaking new study came out 2 days ago from the British Medical Journal by some of the best air pollution epidemiologists in the world, showing that fossil fuel related air pollution, so from burning coal and oil, that air pollution kills 5.1 million people every year. And this is tracked back to fossil fuel related air pollution, which is about 60% of all air pollution. So it shows how, getting away from fossil fuels can really make a difference in saving lives. And the Global Climate and Health Alliance, which is a group that we submitted the global stocktake with, has called for a fossil fuel phase out. That's a lot. A lot of countries are asking for that. That's where there's some contention when you've got some oil rich countries, worried about this issue. But this is something that is really being called for by health organizations. In fact, 46 million health professionals are represented in a call for a fossil fuel phase out as soon as possible.
Coming to us from Dubai at the UN Climate Talks, Dr. Jonathan Patz, researcher at the intersection of climate and health, and is at UW-Madison's Nelson Institute professor. Nova Tebbe, UW-Madison doctoral student in the Environment and Resources Program. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Member support is the single largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. More than 50,000 donors make the daily news, talk, music, and entertainment possible.
Thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you so much.
We are so grateful.
Thank you for your generosity.
Your support of WPR informs and inspires Wisconsin.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The United Nations expects more than 70,000 delegates at COP28, the annual global climate summit underway in Dubai. We hear from two Wisconsin researchers presenting at the talks. Dr. Jonathan Patz is here, professor in the Nelson Institute and Department of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison. Nova Tebbe is a doctoral student in UW-Madison's Environment and Resources Program. Call in with a question, share your views, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Nova, official negotiations happen in a restricted part of the global summit. In another section, you have academics and organizations, NGOs, business groups interacting. How productive is the less formal part of the conference in fighting climate change?
Great question. I think academics, their organizations, they have a lot of what's called pavilions within the same zone that negotiations happen. But in these pavilions, there's a lot of presentations that happen. There's a lot of good dialogue that happens. So even though that's not necessarily important for negotiations, so to speak, it's really important to meet other people, hear other ideas, and talk about what progress is being made in certain parts of the world that you may not have heard before. So there's still some benefit, especially just in terms of knowing more.
Dr. Patz, President Joe Biden not attending this year's UN Climate Conference. What role should the United States be taking on the issue of climate change?
Yes. Well, of course, the United States historically has been the number one emitter of greenhouse gases. We are no longer, but we, over the last 60 years, we have been. So U.S. leadership is pivotal for progress to happen. I think the meeting that Biden had with the premier of China just last week was very important. So I think that Biden, you know, stepping forward and that meeting with China is a huge signal. And so we're seeing, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris is here and John Kerry, of course. So there's major leadership from the U.S. and the meeting that between U.S. and China was essential that it happened. I think his not being here is not that big of a, you know, it's not so big of a problem because the U.S. and China did have a very important meeting and we have high levels. We have senators that are here. So I think definitely the U.S. has to lead and be part of this issue.
You know, as we look at fossil fuels, Nova, there you are in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, oil-producing country, part of OPEC. Could the location affect any actions the U.N. conference considers or agrees on?
Potentially. I think it being set in Dubai, it's right there. It's right outside the conference center. We can see this infrastructure happening. Whether or not that's going to lead to urgent and rapid action in terms of fossil fuel phase out, who knows? A lot of countries have a lot of money in fossil fuels, and honestly, it's what keeps the world go round right now. So it's going to take quite a big change and quite a lot of commitment by countries to fully phase out and decarbonize. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Dr. Patz, you know, we've seen OPEC accusing the International Energy Agency of vilifying the oil and gas industry. And just wondering, do these divisions hurt progress at the summit or how to talk about and address the reduction and elimination of fossil fuels?
Yes. Yes. Of course, there are vested interests in this. There are going to be some winners and losers. But I think we're at a junction where progress can really be made. You know, my colleague Greg Nemeth is famous for showing how rapid the price of solar energy has fallen. It's fallen 300-fold in the last 40 years. So, you know, instead of thinking about switching, getting off of fossil fuels, and making sacrifices, there really aren't sacrifices when renewable energy is so cheap now. And I know that there are a lot of wealthy countries, especially oil-based companies, countries that are investing more in solar. Qatar is making huge investments in renewable energy. So there's going to have to be a rapid transition. It's going to be harder for some countries than others. But I think that the writing is on the wall. I think the Inflation Reduction Act that the Biden administration passed puts a price signal and a signal for the economy. I think there are a lot of industries that are moving to low carbon energy. And, you know, we know that that's a huge gain, not only for clean energy jobs, which outnumber fossil fuel based jobs, but, you know, in NOVA and my area of the intersection of climate change and public health, we know that there are enormous gains and gains for Wisconsin. You know, we've looked at studies looking at getting to clean energy and saving 2,000 lives in Wisconsin every year, equivalent of $21 billion in avoided mortality and the hospital costs. So, you know, there are enormous opportunities here. I view climate action as potentially the greatest health opportunity of our lifetime. And I think things are beginning to align where the possibility to get to a low carbon economy really is possible.
NOVA, you have the last word here in our last 30 seconds or so. What is the most important action that could come out of this year's conference?
Yeah, I think personally that would be the global stocktake, really identifying how we've done in terms of reaching our goal at the Paris Agreement. That's going to be vital. And seeing what the way forward and the guidance coming out of the global stocktake will be and how prescriptive it'll be very important, not only for COP28, but also in future negotiations.
NOVA and Dr. Jonathan Patz, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity, Kate.
NOVA Tebbe is a doctoral student in UW-Madison's Environment and Resources Program studying how to make climate policies healthier and more equitable. Dr. Jonathan Patz was the inaugural director of UW-Madison's Global Health Institute, now a professor in the Nelson Institute at UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.